They were actually saying thank you from Destiny Village. So I don't know if you understood that or not. Did you notice the one slide with the rainbow around the sun? That was actually a rainbow. When they came out of the children's hospital that they had paid for the entire floor's medical bills and for their prescriptions and for blood banks to come back and give them four more treatments, they walked out to get back on the truck, and there was the rainbow around the sun. It was like God saying, well done, thy good and faithful servants. Thank you guys so much. Thank you so much. Be a part of it. Be a part of it. Get down there. And we're going down again, I think, in June and another in the fall and over Christmas break as well. So it's a great opportunity. It only costs you about $800 to $1,000. It's really not that much for a mission trip. And you'll have the time of your life. You'll never be the same. I promise you. Of course, if you want to stay the same, don't go. Well, anyway, I want you to know that Wednesday nights around here are crazy. We have a great time with God at 7 o'clock. So if you're not doing anything and your bowling league is on Tuesdays and Thursdays, why not come out Wednesday night and be a part of what's happening right here at Church on the North Coast? We'd love to see you at 7 o'clock every week. We've got programs for the children as well as our remnant youth group as well. Hey, I want to share with you this morning Isaiah 54. So if you got a Bible, open it up. I want to go to Isaiah 54 and verse 11. And while you're turning there, Tina and I just want to make this quick announcement. We have to catch a plane right after we leave here. So when we're walking out, don't take it personal. We love hanging out and hugging your neck and all that. But I'll miss the flight if I don't, because I'm going to be down in Miami this week for the Night of Hope with Joel Osteen. Also, I'm going to be preaching down there at one of our churches, Greg Ball, on next Sunday. And you'll love to be here next week with Pastor Troy. And the Haiti team is going to share a little bit about what God did. But we need to catch that plane. So understand, okay? I'm not walking out on you. I'm trying to make it to the airport before they leave without us. Isaiah 54, come on, turn there please, Isaiah 54 and verse 11, here's what it says, O you, afflicted one. You know, I like this because God right off the top said, I want you to know, I understand you're afflicted. It's a personal statement, O you, not y'all. He said you. And God knows if you came in here this morning with affliction. God understands if you've come in here this morning with a discomforted situation. And that blesses me because I love the fact that my God is sensitive and understanding to my current circumstance and situations. He says, tossed with tempest. Now he's saying, look, I know that you're not just having a bad hair day. I understand that you're going through a storm. You are like in the fight for your life. Then he said this, and not comforted, meaning you can't get any help anywhere. You can't find anybody to give you comfort or solace. You can't find anything or any place to be comforted in your natural person. And so God speaks to him. And he said, I want you to know that I understand how you're feeling right now in this place. Then he goes on to tell them, here's what I'm going to do. I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundations with sapphires. He goes on to verse 12. I will make your pinnacles of rubies and your gates, oh my gosh, of crystal and all your walls of precious stones. You know what he was actually telling them? He was saying, listen, I understand you're living in an ashes moment, but out of those ashes, I've got beauty waiting on you. He uses precious stones, and understand how precious stones are formed. Have you ever thought about it? Pressure and heat. In pressure and in heat. And he's saying, I know you've been under pressure. I know you've been in the heat of the battle. But I tell you what, I'm going to turn this thing around so that I'm going to lace your entire life with beautiful jewels, with sapphires and with crystals and with rubies. I'm going to adorn you. Now, a lot of us coming into a situation when you're discomforted and can't find peace, you're thinking, God, why don't you do something? Can I tell you today that he is doing something? He's a behind-the-scene God working on your behalf, already making the arrangements to do what? To bring comfort to those who could not find comfort. To bring peace to those that could not find peace. and to turn back the enemy who's trying to destroy you and your family. Sometimes the devil uses money. Sometimes he uses people. Sometimes he uses sickness. But let me tell you, there is no weapon formed against you that's going to prosper. How many believe that? Just wave at me if you believe it. Look it over at somebody and say, I believe it. Come on, tell them. Say, I believe it. Let me make another announcement about God. He's in the recovery and redemption business. That's what he does best. So if you've come here today and you've lost anything, you've come to the right place. Because God specializes in lost things. He specializes in crushed and broken things. He knows how to bring recovery through his resurrection promises. So I just want to encourage you today. Because I know when you're in the middle of a battle and you're in the middle of a struggle, you think like it's never going to end. When your heart is broken and when you feel the weight of a burden that is laid upon you because of circumstances, you sometimes think there's no way out and there's no way this can ever change. But God gave him a promise. He said, I understand that this is your current condition, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take those rags off of you. I'm going to take that despair from you. I'm going to adorn you with beautiful jewels. You're going to come out the envy of everybody around you. You know, in the morning when you get up and you feel like there's no hope, or you go throughout the day and you feel as though you can't hardly breathe because of the struggle or the trial you're going in, you got to get back to Isaiah 54. And you've got to read this scripture and say, God, you've been talking to me. I am the you in that scripture. I thank you that you know about my circumstance. I thank you that you know where I am and what I'm going through right this very moment. And Father, in my tears, in my pain, I'm going to lift my hands. And I'm going to thank you that jewels are coming my way. That you are going to adorn me in beauty. Because he gives beauty for ashes, doesn't he? Yes, he does. He is a good God all the time. So it may be produced by pressure and heat. But I found a scripture in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and 18 that really gives us understanding. It says this, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Kind of get an eternal perspective on things. You say, well, yeah, but you don't know my situation. I may not. Our prayer partners may not. Our ministry team may not. But I'll tell you who does. And that's God. And he already has a plan for your recovery. He already has jewels being formed specifically just for your adornment. Look what he says in verse 17. I don't know if I like this verse, but I'm going to read it anyway. For our light affliction, what's so light about losing your job and not having money like only $2,000 a year? Come on, God. What's so light about saying the doctor tells me I've got cancer? What's so light about the fact that my husband has gone crazy and walked out on me? What's so light, oh God, about me losing my job? That's not light. That's heavy. So I don't know if I like this verse. I think we should take it out of the Bible. But watch what he says. But which is for a what?
Moment.
Now, what's a moment to you? That's moments like that, right? If somebody says, hey, can you help me? I say, just a moment. They stand there going, okay, I'm waiting. When I read that scripture, I think just a moment. And then another scripture comes to my mind. I think, uh-oh. You know how 1,000 years is like, yeah. I'm like, God, a moment to you is like a long time. It could be a long time. And I don't know if I can make it for that duration of time. But God calls it a moment. So when I'm in this time of struggle or loss or despair or discouragement, or I'm in this time of weakness in my flesh, you know, it's a strange adjustment when your body rebels against divine health. I wake up and I think, where's my energy? Where's my strength? I'm under attack. And I said, God, you need to do something. Recently, we went through this and I contracted a pneumonia again. And it just sapped me. And I said, Lord, I don't have time for pneumonia. I'm too busy preaching and ministering. But I was so weak. I remember sitting next to Tina. I came home after a service on Thursday night. I had preached, and on my way home, I began to get delirious, and I was just like feeling like I wasn't myself. And I came in, I sat down next to her, put my head on her shoulder. I started crying. I was praying. I was speaking in tongues. And she goes, What's wrong with you? And I said, Nothing. And I'm thinking on this side of the thing, it's only a moment. It's going to pass. And then I wake up the next day and I feel the same way. And then the next day, and I have more responsibilities and I have to try to push through. And I'm saying, okay, God, any time now, by your stripes, I'm healed. Any time now. Have you ever said to God, any time now? You wonder, like, when you're going to show up with the promise. That's why I don't like this scripture. So put it back up. We'll read it one more time. It's in the Bible. But watch. For our light affliction, comma, which is but for a moment, comma, is working for us. Okay, God, I don't know why you want pneumonia to work for me. He said, under normal circumstances, people without a covenant, pneumonia works against them. Well, what do you mean works against them? Pneumonia, lack, poverty, sickness, strife, all of those things work against them. But because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, this verse says, the devil thought he's going to mean it for evil, but God's going to turn it around and it's going to work for my good. I don't know how he's going to do it, but all I know is this thing has got to work for me. You follow what I'm saying? It's working. For my exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So, okay, I like it again. Now look at verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. So I'm looking at myself in the mirror going, whew, you look bad. And I think, wait a minute, I know verse 18. This is only temporary. You're going to look good soon. I know this is a temporary moment. And can I encourage you today, if you came in tempest-tossed, if you came in discomforted, it's for a moment. It's going to work on your behalf if you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God's going to make it work for you. Even though the devil came to destroy you, God's going to step in and say, I got this. You don't want this. I like it when God steps in and says, you don't want this. He gets right in the face of your adversary and he defends you. How many are thankful God is your defender? Hallelujah. He's my defender. Oh, come on, give him some praise in here. Come on, give him some praise in here. He's our defender. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Lord. I'll preach myself happy. Okay, it's temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things which are not seen are eternal. Then we go into verse 13. Then he says this crazy verse right in the middle of all my trouble. God begins to prophesy to him. If you go back to Isaiah 54 and verse 13, he said, and your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. I said, God, what are we talking about them for? I'm the one with the pneumonia. I'm the one without a job. I'm the one with the pink slip. I'm the one that's got trouble. He said, you haven't got it yet, but you're going to get it before we get to verse 17. You're going to understand that when I speak over you, things are changing without you even realizing it. This morning, situations are changing for you without any of you having any physical, natural, visible evidence. I speak that by the Spirit of the Lord. I sense that as soon as I walked in this room today, that God was doing something spectacular behind the scenes. And you're about to get the benefit of, you're the recipient of that negative thing working for you. How many know vindication is in your future? No, you didn't hear me. I said vindication. You know what it means to be vindicated? all charges dropped. Come on, somebody. Come on, God said it's going to all drop. Vindication. That's what I felt. That's what I felt. I just got to tell you what I felt. Okay, let me get back to the sermon. Peace, well-being. You know how it comes? As a result of your righteousness. Period. There is nothing I can do to gain God's favor. Hear me, Christians. I don't know what it is, and I believe in the disciplines of the Spirit. I want you to do that. I want you to pray. I want you to fast. I want you to worship. I want you to practice silence. I want you to do all those things, humility, all those disciplines of the Spirit, which maximizes your spiritual growth and your relationship with the Holy Spirit. All that's important. But that does not earn you credit with God. Your righteousness and my righteousness is a gift. And a gift means you didn't have to pay for it. You didn't earn it. Ephesians 2:8-9 talks about our salvation is how? By faith. It's by faith. It's grace. It's God's unmerited favor given it to us. He said, here, you're going to be righteous. Righteousness is a force. Say that with me. Righteousness is a force. You know why I can say that? Because when you are declared righteous, negative things that ordinarily destroy people work for you. Because righteousness is such a powerful force, the enemy cannot defeat you in any dimension in your entire life. Physically, emotionally, or spiritually. He is already defeated. But you cannot rely upon the additives of churchianity. You have got to begin to plant your feet on the fact that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Why? How do I know that? Because Jesus took upon himself my sin. And my sin laid on him, he gave me his righteousness. How? By faith in his atonement. I had faith and God's grace imputed unto me his righteousness. And here is the text of Isaiah 54:11-17. Righteousness results in great peace, which acts as a guard against the encroachment of sin on any side. Philippians 4:7. It's a simple scripture, but it's so powerful. And the peace, let's read it together. And the peace of God. I have a guarded mind. I have a guarded heart. Not in anything I've done, but I put my faith in Jesus. And because I put my faith in Jesus, I have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Let me just put a little warning label on my life. You don't want to mess with me. I just have to make that announcement. Not because I'm bad to the bone and I know karate. It's because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the Bible tells me that I'm in covenant with God. And if you pick a fight with me, you pick a fight with him. And I just got to tell you one thing. My covenant partner has never lost a fight. The peace of God. It becomes, in the Greek, means an umpire. He calls me safe when the devil calls me out. He calls me a winner when the devil calls me a loser. The peace of God is an umpire over my thoughts and directs me to the winner's circle every time, every moment, every challenge that I'm ever going to face. There's a Chinese proverb that I want to read to you. It's pretty powerful. It says this, righteousness in the heart. If there is righteousness in the heart, there will be beauty in the character. If there's beauty in the character, there will be harmony in the home. If there's harmony in the home, there will be order in the nation. And if there is order in the nation, there will be peace in the world. It all begins with righteousness. It all begins with the imparted grace of God, of His righteousness. Now, some of you know what it's like to bake a cake by scratch. Others are sitting there and have no idea, no comprehension whatsoever. You just think a scratch is for when you itch. But I had a mother who baked by scratch. I'll never forget it. The first time somebody brought her a cake mix in a box. She's like, "What is that?" "That's a cake, Mom." "What do you do with it?" "You just add water." Okay, that doesn't compute to a woman who understands what it takes to bake a cake. Now, this is a true story. I was, a child at that time, and here's what happened. This instant cake mix thing was a big flop. And the reason for it is because the instruction said all you got to do is just add water and bake. People like my mother, "No, you got to put something in there." Well, the company couldn't understand why it didn't work and why it didn't sell until they understood their research department and their marketing department found that the public felt uneasy about a cake mix that only requires water. So here's what they did. They repackaged it. And the company altered the formula and changed the directions and said, "You got to add water and one egg." How many know what I'm talking about? You get a cake mix, it's one egg. It's like, "Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You got to put some eggs in there." This is crazy, but this is the truth. This is the truth. So they marketed it. It became an overnight sensation. People began to buy this cake mix. Now, this reminds me of how people in church react to the plan of salvation. To them, it sounds too easy, too simple to be true. Even though the Bible says, "By grace are you saved through faith, it's a gift of God and not of your adding an egg to the mix." It's like we are uncomfortable with the simplicity of the grace of God. So we throw a little rules and regulations in there. We throw a little law in there. We throw a little bit of, church stuff so that we have to kind of conform to all of it so we can be saved. But that's not on the box. Actually, the egg's already in the mix. How many know Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets? Amen. He already fulfilled it. So when you receive Christ, guess what? You fulfill it too. Isn't that amazing? See, righteousness in verse 14 of Isaiah 54, he gives us a complete understanding. And he says this, "In righteousness you shall be established." Brothers and sisters in Christ, I make an appeal to your dear heart. Do not let any church, pastor, bishop, whoever they are, tell you that you are established by conforming to their standard. Amen. Not going to happen. You are established how? In righteousness. That's the answer. Ready? You are established how?
In righteousness.
Period. Don't add the egg. You don't need water. You just mix and stir. I did tell you the story one time when I was making brownies, didn't I? It's a cute story, little sidebar, but I think we're just dating, right? We weren't married. We're just kind of getting to know each other, and I was at their house, and they're going to make some brownies, and I said, "Well, I'll make the brownies." So I got the brownie box mix out and added water, put the one egg in it, and I read the instructions, and it said, "Mix by hand." So I put my hands in there, and I began to mix. But I didn't realize how sticky that stuff is, and I had brownie. My fingers were like cake with brownie mix. My hands, and I'm trying my best to mix this. Tina comes through the door, and she looks at me, and she goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I am mixing the brownies." She goes, "Why?" "Because it said mix by hand." You know, that's some Christians. You hear some dumb instruction or some interpretation, and suddenly you put your hands in the mess and you come out making a bigger mess when all you could have got is mama's mixer and just put it under there for 2 minutes and it would have been done. Understand something about instructions of God's word. Don't let people alter the truth in your life. Righteousness, you are established. Come on, say, in Jesus' righteousness, I am established. You have to get that into your heart. Why? Because that's how we win battles. Our defense against the enemy is not to go fast and pray, read the Bible until we can't stand up anymore. There's nothing wrong with about reading and fasting and praying. But let me tell you something. You can read, fast, and pray without the righteousness of God in your spirit, and you'll never impress God. Your defense and my defense is the declaration of, in righteousness your word declares that I shall be established and I shall be far from oppression. I don't know what this oppressor is coming up here doing, God, but I know one thing, it's in violation of Isaiah 54 and 14. So I stand not in my own righteousness, but I stand in your righteousness. And I know right now I'm not going to fear and from terror, for it shall not come near me. See, fear is a choice. People say this all the time. Well, what if? What if this happens? And what if that happens? You're like, well, I don't know. That could be serious. Man, if that happens, I just don't know what I'd do. But let me ask this question. What if it doesn't happen? Well, if it doesn't happen, everything's going to work out. Why don't you believe that? Because if you believe that, fear goes. Fear is attached. Fear is attached to those who aren't established in righteousness. I've been young. Who said I'm old? I know, it's in the Bible. I've been young and I've been old. Wait a minute. The who? The righteous what? Or his what? Ain't going to happen over here in this street corner. I'm sorry. God said the righteous will be established. In other words, he said this, in youth and in old age, the righteous will never be forsaken. Father, I thank you in Isaiah 54, 14, that in righteousness I shall be established. I thank you, Lord, that no oppressor can come near me. I thank you that I choose faith and not fear. I thank you, God, in my youth and in my old age, I'll never be forsaken. And my seed, even my children, my grandchildren, will never beg bread, because that's the force of righteousness. You understand what I'm talking about? Oh, come on, give Jesus two hallelujahs. Come on. Woo! Hallelujah. Because Isaiah 33 and 6 says this, he will be the stability of your times. And I love this song. Do you know this one? Lamentations 3:21. You remember that song? We used to sing it years ago. It kind of goes like this. The steadfast love of the Lord never. Some of you all are going, I've never heard that song before. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faith. Did you know that song's in the Bible? Did you know that's a verse? Did you know that God's faithfulness endures forever? He said you'll be stabilized in righteousness. Here's another verse for you. I don't know where God came up with this, but this is good. He said, seek ye first. Come on, preach to me. Seek ye what? And all these other things shall be added unto you. What do you need added today? Don't worry about the addition. Worry about the righteousness. In other words, engage the righteousness. Don't worry. But engage the righteousness and say, Lord, I'm going to seek your kingdom and your righteousness, because I know it's a force and it's been imputed unto me through faith in Christ. And my stability of my times is dependent upon that righteousness of God. Look at verse 15. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you. Okay, this is the warning label. I feel sorry for people who want to dog out the preacher. I feel sorry for you because I have to pray for you. Because righteousness is powerful. And let me read this verse again, okay? Ready? Look at it. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. I said, God, I don't want anybody to fall. God, don't let that happen. He said, well, pray for them. I ain't praying for them. You know what they did to me? No. Righteousness responds to persecution. Righteousness responds to condemnation. Righteousness responds to false accusation. Righteousness responds to rejection. I can go on and on and on, just like Jesus did. He said, pray for those who persecute you and despitefully use you for my name's sake, for great shall be your reward in heaven. I understand the consequence of your rejection toward me, that it's going to come back on you because I'm the righteousness of God. Therefore, I must say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord, you love them. I love them. I pray the Holy Spirit to bring them into the reality of the truth of your word. You see, God says this: everything in the world works for me. Isn't that cool? I saw that in the next verse. He said, behold, I created the blacksmith who blows the coals on the fire. God said, I did that. I created that man to make the coals hot. Then I did this. The instrument that comes out of the coals, I did that too. And the instrument or the weapon that's now in your enemy's hand to try to destroy you, I gave it to him. You did what? Why would you do that? Why would you put an instrument of destruction in the hand of an enemy? Because I wanted to show you how much I love you. Wait a minute, God, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense at all. Why would you do that? Because I want you to get it. All creation is submitted to my power. I gave them the ability to make the coals hot. I'm the one that gave them the wisdom and the talent to forge the instrument. I'm the one that raised up the enemy. He has no authority and power, but that I gave it to him. Do you get that? In other words, there's not one created thing that does not fulfill my purposes. And my purposes, because you have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, is to bring stability to your time and to bring wholeness to your time and to bring blessing to your time. So don't worry about a thing. I got your back. You see, this scripture gives us the understanding leading up to the most famous of the whole text. If you put up verse 17, you all know this scripture. You could quote it front words, back words. Some of you heard some great preaching on it. And here we go. Ready? Let's read it. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue. Don't you love that verse? Now look at this. No weapon formed against you. In the Hebrew, I don't have time to get into all of it. I'll just share a little bit with you. No weapon formed against you. It actually means no weapon custom made to exploit your weakness. Because the devil just doesn't make a weapon just to bump you over the head with it. He knows your tendencies. He knows your history. He knows your track record. He knows where you've been vulnerable. And he knows where you fail. So he goes, I know how to destroy them. I'll create a weapon that's specifically custom made to bring destruction to them in their point of weakness. But God says this, don't worry about it, because every tongue that rises against you, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. In other words, he said, realize that righteousness is your stability, but righteousness is your victory. He said, don't worry about that. I said, God, you know, that makes me a little nervous. The devil knows my weaknesses, and the devil knows how to exploit those weaknesses. And he's going to come at me in those weaknesses. God said, don't worry about it. I got you. I said, okay, God, I understand that. And that's good. And I love your word. But right now I'm a little bit nervous about what I'm going through. And he said, you have to go back to the cross. And I'm okay, let's go back to the cross. Now, what happened in the scripture that says, he who knew no sin became sin for me, that I who knew no righteousness would become the righteousness of God. Did you know there was a great exchange at the cross? You came in a sinner. You went out the righteousness of God. Right? Your sin was laid upon him. Isn't that wonderful? But watch this. My weakness went to the cross and I came away with his. Okay, now get this. So if I went to the cross and I'm the righteousness of God, my righteousness was like filthy rags. I took his, which was accepted in the sight of the Father. I walk now in the same righteousness that Christ does. It is a force. It's the stability of my time. It guards my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It's how I defeat the enemy. And no weapon formed or strategized or custom made against my weakness shall prosper. Why? Because I don't have any weaknesses. Do you follow that? I know that sounds arrogant to the unchurched and to the churchy, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. The facts are, I went to the cross and I took all my weaknesses and I walked away strong in the Lord. I walked away with his strength, his power, his wisdom, his wholeness, his health, his finances. All I walked away with everything because that's what covenant is. I give him all my junk and he gives me all his juice. In other words, I'm juiced today by the power of the Holy Ghost because greater is he that's in me, hey, than he that is in the world. So I'm not worried about any weapon custom made to work against me because that's not me anymore. I used to be that, but I'm not that anymore. You can show me a bottle. You can show me a pipeline. You can show me a nudie picture. You can do whatever you want, but I'll be like, ha, ha, is that all you got? Let me just show you something, devil. Strong. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You don't want this, devil. That's why verse 17 is so powerful. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. So let me make this statement. Those who would make trouble for you should think very carefully. You with compassion and tears should say, then please don't say that. Please, I beg of you, don't do that. Don't say that about them. Don't be mad. Don't carry a grudge. Please don't do that because you have to understand what you're dealing with here. See, I come with a warning label. Isaiah 54:17 says, every tongue that judges him that comes up against me, I'm going to have to condemn. And I'm going to condemn not by the words of my mouth because I don't defeat you with the word that you speak to me, but I come with blessing. In other words, I'm going to defeat that word of judgment by my righteousness. And it's such a powerful force, it's going to make you fall. That's what the scripture says. So now I have to come with great compassion and pray for those who are causing me trouble. Because I know that it's only momentary. I know that it's temporary. And I know that God has a plan in all of it. And he'll use every created thing to give me the victory in my life. So when I get up in the morning, my defense mechanism is I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank you that my stability of my time is the fact that I have become righteous. I thank you today, Lord, that I walk not in my own, but in yours. And I know that it is a force and it is a power, and that nothing can defeat it. Nothing can come against it. Nothing, oh God, can lay a hand on it. And I thank you, Father, that not only do I get blessed, but my children get blessed. You see, your righteousness has residuals. Your seed shall be blessed. Your children shall have great peace. I thank God for that. I'm looking at my great-grandchildren, I'm saying, you don't know the family you've been born into. Woo! You know, I thought, what would it be like to be like Bill Gates' boy? I'm like, mwah, 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 and didn't know who he was or nothing, you know? I'm brought home, and I'm just doing my diaper thing, and I'm eating milk, and I'm doing whatever. And then you grow up, and you go, who, my daddy? Well, Bill Gates. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's time, church, you and I, come on, quit the crying and the whining. Get out of your dirty diaper, put the milk bottle away, and realize who your daddy is. God the Father, he's your daddy. Woo! Come on, you're the righteousness of God. in Christ Jesus. And I love that. Can you find Isaiah 54:17 in the King James Version? I don't know if you can, but if you can, put it up for me just for a minute. I won't keep you much longer. But I just got to show you this. It is so cool. In Isaiah 54:17, that scripture in the King James Version uses the word vindication. And vindication is translated in the King James there, meaning to provide justification or support for. So actually, what he is saying is, there it is. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shall be condemned. It's the heritage of the servants of the Lord. It's not in that verse. It is in verse 14. Can you go back to 14? Well, nonetheless, it's interchange. One's vindication, the other one's righteousness. It's both translated from the same Hebrew word. But the translator used the word vindication. And the reason why is to give the reader an understanding of what God does as a result of his righteousness in you. What he actually is saying, to be vindicated is to be found not guilty. Right? Is that it? I don't know if that's it either. But anyway, it's to be found not guilty. And the actual definition of vindicated means this: to provide justification or support for. And this is the thing that the Lord kept putting in my spirit. Tell the people, whoever grabs it by faith, that you're about to be vindicated. Amen. You're about to be vindicated. False accusation. False charges. Harassment. Loss. You're about to be vindicated. In other words, God said, I'm going to step in. And this is really a prophetic word for somebody. I felt this so strong when I was receiving this from the Lord about vindication. Because vindication is the same Hebrew word as righteousness. So my vindication to receive support for or to provide justification for my actions, in other words, not guilty, is the same Hebrew word where it's translated righteousness. Okay, so now I understand because of my righteousness, I receive vindication. Not because I'm a good guy, not because you read your Bible, not because you come to the Grace Church in Northeast Ohio, not because you do good works, not because you go to Haiti, not because of any of that, but because of faith in Christ, the grace of God is imputed unto you, the righteousness of God. And because you are the righteousness of God on the earth, God said, I will vindicate you. That's why no weapon formed against you is going to work. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. I thank you for that. Let me go to one more scripture, and I promise I will quit, maybe. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It's my scripture right here, man. This is it. This is the cream de la cream. This is the cherry on top. This is the word right here. Are you ready? I want you to read it with me nice and loud. Ready? He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now look over at somebody and say, hey, righteous. Say, so you don't look very righteous to me with all that makeup on. You don't look very righteous, you know, with all them. Aren't you glad that church people don't make you righteous? I don't think any of us would get saved. We'd all be like in hell right now going, what the heck did I go to church for? Man, I'm right in hell right now. Why? Because I allow church people to try to make me righteous. Or keeping your silly church rules, jumping through your hoops so I could get your deacon pin. Really? You excited about that? You're more excited about your deacon pin than you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come on now. You know what I'm talking about? See, boy, that guy's hair is white. Can you kind of tone the lights down or something? Man, that looks horrible. No wonder you all laughing. I thought you were laughing at my jokes. You're not laughing at my jokes. You're laughing at that glow on my head. Well, that's just the glory of God. One more time. Come on, let's read it. Ready? Read. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Would you please lift your hands up and just thank him for about 15 seconds in praise. Come on, thank him all over this room that you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so excited about our future. I don't know that I have ever been more excited in all the years that I've been in ministry. I'm more encouraged. I'm more energized. I just sense the Spirit of God just working in everyone's life. I'm just so thankful. And I know that right now is a great time for the men of this house. Can I have every man just stand to your feet for a minute? Every guy. Every male. Come on, stand up. Wonderful, wonderful. Look at you. Look at all these men. Awesome. Awesome. Let me just speak to you. Stay standing with me for a minute, guys. I know you feel uncomfortable doing that, but just for a minute. I believe it's time for every man in this room to go to another level in God and to begin stirring up this nest to the point that it is a fresh visitation from God. We want to bring the East and the West of men together and just impart truth, stir up your spirit, strengthen you. And I'll tell you, we've got some men in this house that want to see that happen in your life. And they want to meet with you coming up on April 20th. Sheriff Phil Robinson, I like to call him the sheriff. There's a new sheriff in town. Where are you, Sheriff? There he is. Look at him right there. He's one awesome man. He's a Cuyahoga County Sheriff. Some of you say, yeah, I know that man. He came to my house one day. I know, I'm just kidding. Who's that man over there? Yeah. But Phil has got such a burden and a call to bring the men together of both locations and make a mark that cannot be erased and create such a powerful witness on April 20th, it's called Replenish for Men. Now, we're not going to meet in the East and we're not going to meet in the West. We're going to kind of meet in the middle. It's going to be at Paul and Sue Jordan's fitness center called Chutubu West. Don't worry about that. He's got the flyer. He'll give you the address. But from 2 to 4 on Saturday on April 20th, the guys are going to come together and just let Jesus talk to them. Get all up in their business and change them from the inside out. Guys, I'm asking you to see Phil. Do we have these flyers available? Can we get those to the guys? Okay. Maybe we need to do that. I don't know, at the door or whatever. But see Phil. Be a part of this thing. Let's begin to see a move of God that starts with our men. Amen. Like never before. Would you do it? Would you do it? You could be seated. Now, unfortunately, I won't be able to be there at that first one because I'm leaving right here in a few minutes and going to be down in a conference, and then from there I'm preaching at one of our churches down there, Greg Ball's at Destiny Church in Naples, and then we'll be coming back for the next service. But I just want you to know, guys, that this is a God moment, and we have to take this thing by force, and it is your righteousness. And if you haven't become righteous in God, you can do that today. You know, some people sit here this morning and think, you know what, I don't know anything about God, I don't know anything about the kingdom, I don't know anything about Jesus. But man, I sure want to. I am so tired of church rules and regulations and 5 Hail Marys and 2 Our Fathers. And I'm tired of all the incense and I'm tired of the robes and the pomp and the circumstance. And I just want God, man. I just want to find Jesus. And if that's you this morning, you came to the right place. Last week I preached about being a dot in the circle. I'm just another dot. So it's dot to dot. That's all we are. But I want to offer you today the plan of salvation. You say, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, you can be saved. You say, saved from what? Saved from anything that you need to be saved from. God can restore, renew. God can redo and redeem. And so with everybody's head bowed for just a moment, let me ask this very personal question. If you were to die today, do you know whether you'd go to heaven or hell? Do you know what your future would bring? Do you know what eternity is all about? And if you're uncertain about that, and you want the prayer that I'm about to pray for God to come into your heart and make you a new creature, then I'm going to count to three in a simple formula. At the count of three, I want you to respond, not to me because I'm a dot, but I want you to respond to God. I want you to lift that hand up and acknowledge your need for Him all over this room. Right now, Holy Spirit, would you begin to minister to people? Christians all around you are beginning to pray. They're praying for you and that you respond to God. This is a moment when eternity is going to make a celebration over the fact that you came home. So, ready. You say, I'm ready. I'm ready for that prayer. Pastor, would you pray for me? If that's you right now, are you ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. If that's you, would you hold your hand up just high enough for me to see it? Just hold it for a second, then you can put it back down. All over this room. Thank you so much. God bless all of you today. Come on, stand up on your feet. Everybody, stand up on your feet. If you need prayer, our altar ministers are going to be around the front. They're going to connect with you. And they're going to minister to you whatever you have need of. They're going to agree with you and encourage you. And they're going to bless you. All right? And when they do that, you can be sure that they have one thing on their mind, and that's your welfare. We're not here for any other reason. If you're interested in knowing more about the church, Pastor Tossie, you going to be around for a minute? Maybe Pastor Tossie and Rita can meet you over there by those white couches. And you're visiting, you say, I'd like to know a little bit more. Just take a moment and let us meet you over there. And next time I'll be able to hang out with you, but I got to run to the airport. But I believe Bob Smith, are you here, Robert? Oh, there you are. Are you coming up here?
Yes.
Okay, come on up here, brother. He's going to close the service and then pray and dismiss you. And we'll see you next time right here at Church on the North Coast. We love you. We'll see you. Bye-bye. Thank you, Robert. Love you. Thank you.
Oh, my. What a powerful word. God's grace and mercy is so awesome. When you think about you exchange your sin for His righteousness, your shame for His well-being, everything that's good in Him, you exchange your ugliness, your filthy rags, and you come out a champion because He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Is anybody happy about the fact that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Oh, we have so much to be thankful for. You know, and I perceive some of us have been going up and down with condemnation, guilt, and shame. You know, allowing the enemy to beat you down with guilt, condemnation, and shame. But if you ever get this revelation, oh my God, if you ever get the revelation that you are more than a conqueror, that the enemy cannot do anything to you because Christ have already made you righteous, all you have to do is get up, brush yourself off, and keep going. Because that devil is a liar. He want to have you bogged down with condemnation, guilt, and shame. Because you can't be effective if you're walking around with condemnation. Oh, God. He'll never forgive me. He already done forgave you. Just get up and keep going. Hallelujah. Because the devil is a liar. He just want to have you ineffective Christian. But when you get that revelation, oh God, I thank you. Oh, that you paid the cost for me. And nothing that I did today, yesterday, or tomorrow will never change who I am in you. Because you have made me righteous. Therefore, I know that I am free from condemnation, guilt, and shame. And you brush yourself off and you keep going. You say, hallelujah. Devil, you ain't got no victory here. You better keep going on about your business. And boy, how effective can you be when you have that mindset? Because there's nothing that you can do to earn your salvation. Nothing you can do to be righteous. Because it's in Him. It's in Him. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Somebody give the Lord a hand praise. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh, boy, I done made myself happy up here. Well, the main reason I'm here, next Sunday is our pastor's birthday. And for those of you who want to bless the man of God, next week we're going to take an offering at the end of the service for our pastor. You know, he is a man of integrity. He really don't want us to do this, but we want to bless him. Anybody want to bless the man of God? Amen. So next week, we're going to take an offering for our pastor. And if you're making out checks, please make it out to Lewis F. Cayeton. Don't make it out to CNC, because if you make it out to CNC, he has so much integrity, he will not take that money. So you have to make out your checks to Lewis Cayeton next week after church. At the end of the service, we're going to take up an offering for him. He'll be in Florida, but we still want to bless him. Hallelujah. So right now, if you have a prayer need, if you made that decision that you want Christ and not the devil, you want heaven and not hell, at the conclusion of this service, we would like for you to come forth and have one of the prayer ministers minister to you, lead you to Christ, minister to you, get some information from you, because we want you to grow in the things of God. We want you to be, oh my God, by this time next year, you done led 1,000 people to the Lord because they seen that you had transformation in your life. Because that's what will turn this world around. When we are transformed, you want to transform your friends. You want to transform your family. They'll see it in you. When Christ comes in you, they'll see, oh man, there's something different about you. And then that gives you the opportunity. Yes, Jesus came into my life and he changed me. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, we want to close the service with this saying. Live right, pray hard, and love everybody. I don't know if I got it in the correct order, but that is what our mantra is, because love covers a multitude of sin. When you can love people when you know they don't love you, you know that you walking in you walking in the righteousness of God. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, pray hard, live right.